What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Let's take this outside with Marianne Iveson, the podcast where she speaks to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about why they connect with nature.
In collaboration with Cycling Canada, I had the chance to interview Mathis Julien and Pierre-André Côté, two young athletes from the Canadian national team at the Grand Prix Cycliste de Montréal. This event is on the UCI World Tour, with the participation of the 18 world teams composed of the greatest riders on the planet. Please enjoy my live chat from downtown Montreal at Savoir with Mathis and Pierre. Please welcome from the Canadian national team, Mathis Julien and Pierre Côté. Thank you so much for coming. Round of applause, by the way. Can we get some?
Thank you for having us.
I really appreciate it. Welcome to Montreal, but Mathis, you're from Laval, but we kind of had a little, like, if you're in Montreal, you can't say you're from Montreal. You have to say you're from Laval, right?
Yeah, people from Montreal will get mad if I say I'm from Montreal, but in Europe, I'd say I'm from Montreal, yeah.
How are you recovering today? How are you feeling?
Well, I think the whole team was a bit tired today. for sure, more tired than we were yesterday morning. Honestly, feeling pretty good. Yesterday was pretty hard. It was a long race, a bit longer than I'm used to. Mm-hmm. In the Conti races we do, it's a bit shorter. Like, if it's that long, it won't be that intense. To have that day in between makes it a bit easier as well to recover. Like, if the race was today, it would have been like a really big ask. But to have that day in between is nice. And tomorrow, hopefully, we'll have like the best legs of our life.
But today you rode here and you already have a coffee in hand. So, but you still want to spin. You still want to feel good today. You want to move your body still.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's nice to just spin the legs, especially with the drive we had this morning from Quebec. Mm-hmm. And it's also like we were talking a bit earlier. It's mental as well. You know, you want to know, like, oh yeah, I've ridden. It's fine. It's a bit for a confidence boost, just because if you're just in your room, you feel tired, you feel sluggish. Mm-hmm. You go out for a ride, you feel a little bit better.
And Pierre, how are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty good, not too bad. I mean, as a cyclist, you kind of get used to being tired all the time. It's just a various amount depending on what you did the day before. Yesterday was definitely a hard race. They're unique in that way. They're just heavy on you, and they get to you at the very end of them. But you get tired so suddenly that you don't fight for that long. Like, it's kind of, yeah, it's quite unique. It's like difficult to explain how it happens. But yeah, we just go slightly quicker every lap. And then it's just too much for you. Like, there's no like fighting for an hour or anything. It's not like you're on a long climb and just like fighting for your life. It's just like it happens all of a sudden. It's just too quick and you're out of the race. So, yeah. And I mean, this morning we did the drive and then rode for a bit. Didn't feel great, but like Mathis said, anything you would do today, you could ride 30 minutes, you could ride 3 hours. The outcome is probably going to be the same. You just kind of got to ride because we ride every day, and then you're going to feel fine for tomorrow.
Other than spinning, is there anything else that you do on a recovery day? Is there something you eat? Is there something that you...
Well, on a recovery day, like today with a race tomorrow, then we definitely eat a lot.
Many calories are you consuming?
I don't know about calories. We definitely eat like a lot of carbs, pretty much as you can. Like, it sounds pretty bad, but any amount that you can take without feeling actually bad and not being able to sleep would be like the right amount, I would say.
What's your carb of choice? Like potatoes, rice,
bread? I think diversity is the best thing, because when you're like 3-4 days into a stage race, I can't imagine those guys doing grand tours actually, but yeah, when you're 3-4 days into a stage race and you've only had like plain pasta and plain rice... Yeah, you just gotta find something different. Potatoes, yeah, toast in the morning. Crepes are great. So, yeah.
Mathis, you're from Laval. You're not from Montreal. But how did you get started in cycling? Let's go back a little bit.
I'd say, well, my dad was a triathlete for as long as I've known. Like he was probably a triathlete before I was born. So I've always like done low triathlons when I was younger, but also doing a lot of sports like baseball and soccer. But then one year, a triathlete buddy from my dad called Frédéric Gagné, still involved in Espoir Laval Club, just told us, hey, come try this out, just for a summer activity to keep me out of the house and just go and ride on Mondays and Thursdays. So we did, and for a couple of years I just went there to ride 2 hours two times a week with the club. It was really fun. I was riding with all kids of my age, and we had some great coaches, which made it a lot of fun. And at some point I started competing because all the kids were going to all the races. So I started, we have a great circuit here in Quebec, and that's it. I was hooked. And I think when I was younger, like when I was maybe peewee, so 13 years old, I remember going to one of my first races, and then there was this cadet that was like winning everything out of the sprints. This guy named Pierre-André Côté. And it was special to be in that position like a couple years later, and then racing with Pierre in the past 2 years. We've done some races together in France, but not in the same team, and then being in the same team this year is special. Yeah,
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that you've known each other. I didn't realize that you've known each other for as long as you have.
Well, when I was younger I knew him, he didn't know me.
Sounds really bad.
No. It's normal. If you're like a you know, a second year cadet, and there's a little peewee on the road who's finished like fifth in the criterium, and you're like,
yeah. I had my idols as well back then.
Exactly.
Pierre, you come from a hockey background, right? That's kind of where you started, and then.
Yeah, right. I was just trying to stay fit during the summer for prep camps that usually happen in the fall. And my dad had been riding bikes just like recreationally for a decade, maybe. Started riding with him, and then we registered for just like the club. No, not even racing, just like cycling for everyone. And after a couple rides, I think the president from the club like noticed me. I was taking like big pulls at 40Ks an hour, like maybe... What age are you at in Minim? Like 15? 14, 15?
14, 15.
Yeah, yes. So, and then decided to give it a go racing a little bit. And I think it took like 3 months. And then like hockey was just like plan B and like just for fun. And cycling was actually the main thing. I just really like the fact that you get rewarded so much for your efforts. Not that you don't like in hockey, but I felt like hockey was so much more about talent. Like I was always like a good hockey player. Like I had good skating, good shooting and stuff, but I didn't really have the hockey sense. I didn't have like that talent. And I would like outwork my teammate, but not get as much success just because I didn't have it. While like in cycling, if I slept well, ate well, trained well, then I would have like a lot of success, and I enjoyed that. So,
how did you end up on the national team then? Considering, like, you know, Matisse, you've known him for a while, but how did you end up on the national team that you're like, oh, I can't believe that I'm riding alongside like Michael Woods or in the same race?
Yeah, it's kind of a natural process. Like race on your trade team in Europe or in North America, and then when you get good enough results, you get selected for the national team. It's like a different national team for every project we do. So this is actually my third/second national team project this year. I've done Pan Ams earlier in the year, and then I was selected for Worlds but got COVID right before. But it's kind of a case by case. If you ride well enough in the races the rest of the year, then you get selected for the national team projects.
I feel like you're being pretty humble. You're like, you know, if I sleep well and eat well, I'm going to do well. But this, I hope you know, this takes talent and work, and not everyone's on the national cycling team, on the national team. So I feel like you're not giving yourself enough credit.
No, yeah, I mean, definitely everyone has like some amount of talent for sure. But I feel like you can outwork people more in a sport like cycling. Definitely like you need talent, but I think none of us would be where we are if we didn't have a good work ethic and everything. I don't know what you think about that, Matisse.
What do you think?
You would probably agree, right?
Yeah, I think like cycling is one of those sports where you like there's some guys that have just massive talent, and if they work at it, they might be world champion one day. But you can get by with less talent, but still be like a really good bike racer. And I think the talent bit just defines at the higher level who's like more of a winner, like who wins at the big stage, and who's more of a worker, who will still get opportunities. Like if you're a domestique, you'll still get opportunities in your career, and it's also luck, and you have to grab it when you can.
So for tomorrow, it's a big race, over 220K. I think it's 4,800 meters of climbing. That's a lot, right? Is that fair? It's a lot.
Yeah. It's like a good Tour de France stage, or almost a monument like type race. It's a lot of climbing. It's a lot of K's. Like for me, I think it's the longest race that I've started. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty, like I've done close to that. Like, but 220, I think, is the longest state race I've taken part of.
You're in your development stage, and you're learning a lot, I'm sure, especially from yesterday. So, is there anything you learned yesterday that you're going to take into tomorrow, Pierre? Would you, or Matisse?
Go ahead, Matisse.
Yeah,
you learned more than
that. Yeah, I learned a lot yesterday. Yes. Well, I learned one thing, okay. Which was I'm used to, let's say, in Europe, kind of following the guys that I know that are going to contest for the win. Because let's say you're in the class 2 race, you want to contest for that win. You're trying to stay around these guys, kind of marking them, but also mimicking what they're doing in terms of energy expenditure. But then I found myself kind of doing that yesterday and being like, oh, here's Arnaud Daly. I'm going to follow his wheel for a couple of laps and see what happens. But you don't realize those guys are like seasoned pros, and they're winning like point ones and point pros, and they're stronger than you at this moment. They're stronger than me, and they can do efforts, repeated efforts, that we can't really do. So you have to race it differently. You have to save energy more than them if you want to be with them at the finish.
Hi, I'm Steve Yurko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4Kids Flashback.
Let's Take This Outside now has a newsletter. Keep up to date with outdoor news, events, and great discount codes and deals from our partners. Sign up today at letstakethisoutside.ca.
And Pierre, did you learn anything yesterday that you'll take into tomorrow?
I mean, it was more of a reminder. It was my fourth time doing Quebec and Montreal, those two races. I mean, I still learn every year about like patterns on the circuit itself, but that won't carry into Montreal, unfortunately. But I mean, these races are all about being efficient for us. Like, unless you're in the breakaway, then like it's a complete different race, obviously. But in the bunch, it's like for the first 70-80% of the ride, it's mostly about being efficient, not making mistakes, taking care of those legs, because like unless something crazy happens, it starts raining and stuff. Like yesterday, we had to be on top of things because it was looking like it might have been starting to rain, and then you need to be more towards the front. But most of it is just managing, finding the patterns in the race, the corners. Like there's some lines that you can take. Sometimes you end up in a corner and you get pinched in the barriers, and then you kind of have to do like a standing start into a small climb, where like if you take the perfect line, you might be freewheeling and not making a single effort, then coming out of it at 40 k's an hour instead. So you're just gonna like find those patterns, and with the years, obviously it helps. But also throughout the race, those patterns evolve because we're going like slightly quicker and quicker, and the door shuts a little bit earlier. It stays stretched out for longer. So yeah, you kind of just have to learn throughout the race as well. I think Matisse probably like noticed that as well. But yeah, yesterday I learned that the legs are not so bad. They have the best of legs. So I don't really know where we're headed for tomorrow. We'll talk about it tonight, but probably either try to help one of the younger guys in the breakaway, maybe help drive the breakaway. Personally, I don't have like objectives for tomorrow. It's a race that's a little bit beyond my reach. There's a little more, bit
You're
too
just
much
there to
climbing.
Have fun, right?
Sorry?
You're just there to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. No, but yeah. I just wish I can help those guys and maybe like navigate through the peloton, maybe drive that break, be at the front of the race for a bit, entertain the crowd. And if we're not in the break, then just make it as deep as possible in the race would be the objective, I think. Yeah.
Matisse, you're essentially racing at home. Is there anyone like going to be watching tomorrow that may make you a little bit nervous? Maybe your family's watching?
I mean, it was already pretty special in Quebec because I have a part of my family who's from there, and I have a couple friends that are studying in Quebec City right now. My girlfriend who's studying there was there as well.
Great.
So a lot of people who haven't seen me race in the past 4 years, because ever since junior with the pandemic and racing in Europe after, I haven't really raced at home. So yeah, it was special to have people on the sidelines, and it'll be even more special in Montreal this year because really like all of my close family is going to be there, and a lot of my friends are going to be here, and it's really something to hear your name. Like I haven't heard my name as much as I did in Quebec ever, and I think I already know of a friend who's made a really good poster of me and Robin actually.
Cool.
so yeah, it's going to be fun, and as you said, I think like best thing we can do is either make it deep and entertain the crowd by just being there and in the tail end of the race, or drive that break as long as we can.
You're racing, like I mentioned, you're racing, you know, with fellow Canadians like Michael Woods, you know, who's, you know, winning these Tour de France stages. So what's that feeling? Does that inspire you at all? Is that a feeling for you that you're like, okay,
well,
there's Canadians doing these things?
It's for sure inspiring. I think for us Quebecers, like for sure Michael is also super inspiring because he's come out from a totally different sport and completely converted and spent a couple years in Europe struggling, and now he's doing like amazing things on the World Tour stage. But also for us Quebecers that went to Europe pretty quickly, it's super inspiring to look at Guillaume or Hugo as well, because they kind of had the same the same patterns as we did. So you're kind of looking at them and you're like, when you compare yourself at the same age, you're thinking, well, if they can do it, well, you know, you can see that there's a path. Like we can even look at Pierre or Nicola Zukowski, and it's like a lot of guys have done it. So you kind of try to follow in their steps in a way.
That's so cool. Pierre, do you have any?
Yeah, comments? No, I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, it's special. I mean, I race with these guys like a bit more often than you guys do in Europe, but it's always super nice just to have fellow Canadians in the races. I mean, I probably spent like a whole lap talking with Derek yesterday, just chit-chatting.
Nice. Yeah.
Obviously in the first part of the race, not the second part, but no, it's always super enjoyable to have them around. I mean, Derek and I grew up racing together, probably like 16, 17, 18 years old. We were together, did some national team projects, I think, and our girlfriends are friends. We live in the same city in Girona, so yeah, it's just always nice to have them in the same race, talk to them at dinner. We always have great conversation. And yeah, to see Hugo, Guillaume, Mike, it's always nice to see them at the races. It just feels a bit like home. I mean, here we're at home, but seeing them like in Europe as well, it just brings a little bit of home to the races. Yeah.
You kind of already answered it, but do you have any goals looking forward to the net, like continuing that development that you were just talking about in the coming year?
As for myself, I mean, I have a pretty good trajectory in the last few years. I would say like the longer term goals is for sure to do, like, I want to do the best races in the sport. I want to do the most beautiful races in the sport, probably a Grand Tour, Roubaix. The big classics for me are probably like the best that suit me. And then of course the Olympics, those are big goals. But I mean, I've never been like a super objective driven person, because anything can happen. I just like kind of take them as they come. Like, I do everything I can to make them happen, and I try to be the best I can like at any given moment, and then things come to me, and if they're not meant to be, they're just not meant to be. Because I feel like anything can happen that's out of your control, so that's why I don't like having like super precise objectives.
Right.
But I would say like longer term, that's kind of like what I'm aiming at. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Like, as long as I do everything I can to make it happen and I'm satisfied with it, then I have my own journey, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's pretty inspiring.
Yeah.
Matthias, what do you think? Same?
Well, yeah.
You're like, no, I want to win everything, actually.
Samesies. I think for a lot of us, the objective like is like if you're doing all these races, you know, the Grand Tours, the monuments, it's like you kind of want to have a good career in cycling. So I think it's hard to put like a precise objective on long term in cycling, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what team you're going to sign into. But I think like the objective is still to just have a career into it. Mm-hmm. And you know, have fun doing it, basically. Like, we have the privilege to kind of earn our life for like doing what we love, cycling. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, it's special to be kind of like, you can call it like to call cycling your work is kind of special, I think.
I think so too. Yeah. Okay, let's make this really let's dumb this down a little bit, and we're just gonna do a rapid fire. So I just want something very quick. If you guys want to answer like back to back, that'd be great. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. How fast can you change a tube if you had to?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. 2 minutes.
Like fastest time? Oh no, like 6 minutes is average time, but
depending.
Okay, 2 minutes if you want to go really fast.
Yeah, I mean, it depends if your tire is like kind of new, like it could be like really.
This
tight,
is very rapid fire.
Yeah. 15 minutes on a gator skin.
Yeah.
How? Okay, what will you eat after the race tomorrow?
A poutine.
Airport meal. I fly at 9 p.m.
Most embarrassing song on your warm-up playlist?
Barbie World by Ice Spice.
So good.
Taylor Swift. Any of the songs.
I can just imagine you like riding along to like Love Story or something.
Yeah.
What is your dream race?
Amstel Gold Race.
I would say Roubaix.
Chamois cream. Yeah, or chamois cream, sorry. Yes or no?
No.
Every day.
Even when you're not racing? Even when you're not riding? Just
our easy ride on the trainer, like chamois.
That's cool, yeah.
That's cool, yeah. You
never know. High socks or low socks?
High socks.
High socks.
Favorite place to train?
Po.
Po?
Po, in France, Pyrenees. Mm.
Girona.
Yeah. Road, gravel, or mountain?
Road.
Road.
White shoes, yes or no?
Yes.
Neither of you are wearing white shoes, by the way. So
they look good.
Yeah. I wish I had white shoes. If anybody has a contact, just let me know at pierreandre.cote.
Matthias, Pierre, thank you so much for joining me, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks to you.
Thank you so much. It was great being here.
Bravo!
We'd like to say a special thank you to all the members from Cycling Canada's Club 1882. By becoming a member of Club 1882, you are providing critical financial support to the success of our national team athletes, helping Cycling Canada sustain development opportunities and lower the financial barriers faced by its athletes. To learn more, go to cyclingcanada.ca/club-1882.
Thanks for listening. For more Let's Take This Outside, go to letstakethisoutside.ca.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.